You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I always love when you give a take and people are obsessed with the take. So Cleveland Sports Fan 41 on social media just tweeted me at Zach Gelb. I just refreshed my Twitter feed and I got distracted by this. I had a feeling, well, actually says in had. But I think he meant I had a feeling you would pick Carter to the Pats because you are a fan. Browns don't need a QB this year. They are going to take Carter or Hunter. Okay. Sometimes listening may actually help. I said this is what the Browns or this is what the top 10 of the draft should look like. Not will. This is if I was doing this, this is what I would do. If you have listened to me, which obviously you have, that you feel such a need to tweet on out there and get all angry. I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. I believe Travis Hunter will go to the Browns. That's if I was running the teams. This is what I would do, to be clear. And any Brown fan, you know, Cleveland Browns fan, that thinks they have a leg to stand on and they could lift up their nose and say, we don't need a quarterback this year. Really? You're starting Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett? But no. Oh, how dare Zach Gelb say that the Cleveland Browns should draft Shedeur Sanders? Because we got Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Come on. What are we doing? You may not want them to take a quarterback, but you can't tell me the Browns don't need a quarterback. You've needed a quarterback, I don't know, for the last 20 years. Ay, 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 ay. Other reaction on social media. Eric Garcia says, Texans fan here, but I think Purdy should be signed somewhere in the middle of $48 to $54 million a year. Great story. He'll have to prove himself either way. Take the money and run and go win in San Francisco. So since I'm not great at math, 54 plus 48 divided by two, that would be $51 million a year. I think it's going to be, you know, that's close. I think he's going to get $53 to $55 million a year. I do. I'm not saying he's worth it, but that's what I think he's going to get. So appreciate the tweet there, Eric Garcia. Good tweet, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B on Twitter. All righty, we got a little onside, offside to get to. We do this every Monday and Friday on the show. Botcher, hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty. And also, I love that tweet, too.
You're a Patriot fan. That's why you haven't taken on Dual Carter.
You know how many times I praise my team and my team's great and then shred my team and my team is bad? I'm not sitting here
going, oh, this is what should happen. And, oh, let me concoct this take just to get, you know, potentially the Patriots to have this happen. Like, it's just stupid tweet. Really dumb. But hey, everyone's entitled to some dumb tweets. Ah, you know what? Not for nothing. The header photo is of Ohio Stadium. So it is an Ohio State Buckeye. So now I understand kind of this tweet. Go blue, baby. All righty. What do we got cooking here, Samter?
Yesterday, the Aaron Rodgers, joined his buddy Pat McAfee, and among other things, ripped my Jets and new head coach Aaron Glenn for calling a meeting with him, having him fly across country, and then informing him they were moving on right away.
I wasn't surprised that they wanted to move on, but like, why would you not pick my brain? I'm there to like talk to you about the team and about things that I think can get better and things that are good and players that have leadership possibilities and anything. I mean, I've been in the league 20 years. Any type of conversation, there was none. There was none. That was strange.
Now, however, Jets fans are coming out of the woodworks in droves to praise Glenn and his no-nonsense attitude towards Rodgers.
Before you ask me the question.
Okay.
Was this a real image that I saw? It was an old Aaron Rodgers tweet. But was that real? Has that been verified?
I believe it has been. I've seen Sports Illustrated write it up. And I've seen...
You say write it up or read it up?
Write it up.
Oh, okay.
Write up the story.
Gotcha. I thought you said read it up.
No, I'm seeing a variety of different legitimate places putting it out there.
Do you have the tweet in front of you?
I do. This is from April 14th, 2013, where Aaron Rodgers tweeted out, meeting in person is greater than a phone call. Always.
He's full of sushi. I thought I was going to get botched to freak out there if I said full of... Maybe I thought he was going to be hovering over that dump button because he comes from the school of Pete Bilotti. Bilotti has the quickest trigger on that dump button. You know, no doubt about it. Yeah, that's why I said this the other day. Because remember when...
Well, I didn't ask the question yet.
Well, no. I'm not even answering the question yet. But Rodgers is just so full of bleep on this because... If, let's just say the Jets called him, first off, right, he has the worst cell phone connection service in the world. That was going back to the Packers divorce. Then he would have said, oh, I can't believe they only called me. Then, if they would have flown him in or he, you know, paid his own money, he said, to get there and they made him sit there for 5 to 6 hours, then it would have been, oh, they made me sit there for 5 to 6 hours to pick my brain, just say they were going to let me go. There was no winning here for the Jets here. They made a decision they wanted to move on, and that's the way that they... had the cookie crumble. But anyway, Samter, continue asking me the question.
So those cookies taste delicious for Aaron Glenn, apparently. But onside, offside, after hearing the story, you actually believe in Aaron Glenn more than you did before.
Absolutely not. Offside. Can I just be honest here? It's the most sophomore take I've ever heard from Jet fans yesterday. That's my coach! He showed him who's boss! Oh, Aaron Glenn! He put his foot down on Aaron Rodgers! Give me a break. I don't care how they divorced. I don't care if he sat there for 6 hours and picked his brain or he walked in and he said, Aaron, you're gone. It doesn't matter to me. Can you win football games? That's what it's going to come down to. All the other stuff is a sideshow. So after hearing this story, you believe in Aaron Glenn more than before? No, my belief level's the same. I don't know how he's going to transition into a head coach. He's a tremendous defensive coordinator, right? Former player, former executive, players seem to like him. I thought a lot of similar things, minus the executive part, was said about Robert Saleh when he got the job a few years ago. How'd that work? So no, this doesn't change my belief level in Aaron Glenn. Offside.
Offside!
As a Jet fan, I love it.
Of course, because you guys take the bait of anything. Because you guys can't win on the field, so then you have to be like, oh, we won this offseason, or head coach, he showed our old quarterback who's boss, oh, gee golly.
It's not just about showing him who's boss. It's about taking back ownership of the team and having accountability. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any of that. He's always, he points the finger, but the way he says it makes it sound like he's not blaming anybody, but he's always blaming everybody. And it's finally nice to have a coach who had a spine, a backbone, and he's willing to stand up to Rodgers, fly him out, have him fly out and say, screw it, get out of here. We don't even want you anymore.
Now, I didn't really listen to what you just said. Because now I'm,
thanks.
No, it's nothing to do with what you just did. I'm distracted by this guy, Cleveland Sports Fan 41, who's now tweeting me again. He goes, Zach, Flacco took the Browns to the damn playoffs. I swear some of you don't follow the entire league and just your fan base. You are a Pats fan. You did this with being a Pats fan. I'm not stupid, but hey, it's your way or the highway. It's your show. Okay. I was the same talk show host that also said that the Browns should have brought back Joe Flacco last year. The Browns didn't do that because they were afraid of Deshaun Watson. Also, since I follow the league, Joe Flacco, yes, took the Browns to the playoffs 2 years ago. It was awesome. Joe Flacco was even on this show saying he doesn't want the comeback player of the year. I actually talked to Joe Flacco 2 weeks ago. All right? With that being said, though, Joe Flacco last year, when given an opportunity to go play with the Colts, did not play all that well. So now he's another year older. Is he better than what you had last year? Yes. But that doesn't mean you still shouldn't draft a quarterback at two. I once again think you are drafting Travis Hunter. However, if I was Andrew Berry, I would draft Shedeur Sanders because either you have a quarterback or you don't in this league. Cleveland hasn't had a quarterback in forever. So therefore, I would take the quarterback. And even if you get it wrong, you get it wrong. You've gotten 9,000 quarterbacks wrong. There's even an image out there on how many quarterbacks you got it wrong. You could say a lot of things about me. When it comes to football, you can't say I don't follow the league. I make national news a lot about football. And also, I don't know, I basically did Red Zone on the radio for years, where I had my eye on football for every game. So don't tell me I don't watch football. Please. And don't tell me, because I'm a Patriot fan, that gets involved in my analysis. I think Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft. But in terms of fit, I still think it should be Cam Ward 1, Shedeur Sanders 2, Travis Hunter 3, then Abdul Carter 4. All righty. I don't think it's that tough to understand. And also, some people think I'm a Browns fan. This is the irony of this, because I get on the air and I go, here we go, Brownies, here we go. I like Cleveland. But come on, don't act like the Browns don't need a long-term quarterback. Even if you love Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco's old. And Kenny Pickett, I don't think he's going to be the starter in Cleveland. So
Joe Flacco?
That's it. What the heck was that? Oh, is Joe that the Flacco? Ravens guy? The crazy Ravens fan
That's
guy?
Scott Van Pelt.
That's?
Scott Van Pelt.
Go ahead.
Joe Flacco?
I think he's imitating the crazy Ravens fan, though. That guy. I love that guy. And you know what? Cleveland Sports Fan 41. Shake hands. We're good on Twitter. I'm just going to respond to you here. I'm not going to respond on Twitter. And I appreciate you listening to the show, but like, you thinking I did this mock draft just to get Abdul Carter fall fourth. I don't think he's going to fall fourth. This is not what will happen, what I think should happen. All righty. I don't need to distract the listening audience with any more of my problems on social media. We go to the next question.
All right. So 12 minutes into the segment. Let's get to number two here on Onside Offside.
Sorry. I'm in a mood on a Friday. Sometimes I'll drop fisticuffs with people. We punch each other. We slug it out. And then we hug each other. It's all good.
All right. Now, I know how much you love the play-in game.
I despise it.
Well, tonight
it's the biggest
waste
of time in sports.
I don't know about that, but I'll go with the under on that one. Tonight we get the final two NBA play-in games with the winner of Heat Hawks and Mavs Grizzlies securing the eighth seed in their respective conferences. The winner, of course, will face the one seeds in their conference, meaning the Cavs in the East and the Thunder in the West. So onside, offside, the winner of Hawks Heat has a better shot to beat the number one Cavs than the winner of Mavs Grizz has to beating the Thunder.
Hawks, Heat, Mavericks, Grizzlies. Who's the best team out of those four? It's the Grizzlies. So even though, let me be clear, because then someone's going to tweet me, oh, you think the eighth seed's going to win? What are you, an idiot? I would say out of those teams, the Grizzlies have the best chance to defeat the Thunder. I don't think the Hawks or the Heat could defeat the Cavs. I don't think either, hot take of the day, the Cavs or the Thunder are going to lose in the first round. So the winner of Hawks-Heat has a better shot to beat the number one Cavs than the winner of Mavs-Grizzlies has in beating the Thunder. I'm going to go offsides because I think the Grizzlies are the best team there. Best team.
Offside!
All right, now we're going to hear from a few different voices here. Now, Matt Ishbia has been the Suns' owner since 2023.
Ishbia
has been the Suns' owner since 2023, but has fired three coaches over the past 23 months since taking over. This week, Stephen A. Smith went off on Ishbia, calling him the worst owner in sports and liking him to Donald Sterling.
Ooh. Matt Ishbia needs to understand that right now you are on the verge of being recognized as the worst owner in the history of basketball. That's saying a lot. Donald Sterling once owned an NBA franchise. James Dolan, until he recently hired Leon Rose, was on that trajectory. That's the trajectory, if you're Matt Ishbia, that you are on right now, being recognized as arguably the worst owner in the history of basketball.
Well, Ishbia did his end-of-year presser this week or yesterday and responded to Stephen A.'s comments.
Stephen A. Smith, you know, I don't take much he says seriously, you know. I don't think many people do, to be honest with you. You know, with that being said, I don't really think Stephen A. believes that, what he said. I think, you know, he's doing his thing. He's on the mic and he's doing what he's doing. And I think he'll apologize to me because I think it's disrespectful to put my name in, aligned with anybody that was kicked out of the league or no longer part. Like, yeah, we had high expectations and we didn't win. We spent a lot of money and we didn't win. Yep. Be critical of me on that. But to even say that kind of stuff, like I said, that's just, I think, like I said, he'll apologize. I think he was out of line.
Now, today, Stephen A. agreed and apologized for making that comparison.
Matt Ishbia is absolutely right. I do owe him an apology because I mentioned Donald Sterling. I thought I was making it clear I was talking about basketball. I certainly did not mean to compare him to a person that was thrown out of this league and has been widely recognized as a racist. I was not talking about that Donald Sterling. I was talking about the Donald Sterling that would be sitting courtside, heckling his own damn players, and never winning anything and didn't give a damn. That's the Donald Sterling that I was talking about in terms of how ineffective he was. Unfortunately for you, sir, that's the only thing I'm wrong about. And that's the only apology that you're getting from me.
Yikes. Onside, offside, Matt Ishbia is the worst owner in the NBA right now.
How do you think I'm going to answer this?
You are going to say no. I'm going to say you're going to go offside because there's one guy who everyone thinks is the worst owner in sports.
In the NBA, you're saying?
Maybe in all of sports.
What team do you think that is?
Locally, here in New York.
Oh, no. No. Not with what's happening right now.
What's happening right now is...
Nope.
He got lucky. He hired the right guy in Leon Rose, and Leon Rose has made the right moves.
You can't say that he got lucky. Leon Rose was an agent. That was a risk. I think the worst ownership group right now in the NBA, the Dallas Mavericks.
Nah.
You had a generational player. You had a top five player in the league, and you traded him for basically a bag of peanuts. All right? So Matt Ishbia has been dog crap. Don't get me wrong. But the Mavericks ownership group, they allowed their GM and signed off on their GM getting rid of Luka Doncic. So Matt Ishbia is the worst owner in the NBA right now. I will go offside.
Offside.
I don't have any issues with Dolan right now. You know, I wish that he would, like, let our network get a credential here and there. But, you know, outside, I'm not saying I think James Dolan is, like, the greatest human being in the world. But I think he has gotten out of the way with the Knicks and he's let Leon Rose do his thing. And as long as he continues to do that, I think he kind of just stays out of mind. He's out of mind right now.
I'll always
out of sight,
hate him.
Out of mind.
I'll always hate him because he's the guy who spearheaded the blocking of the Jets getting a Manhattan stadium. So I'm always going to hate him for that.
Yeah, and then you blocked the Jets out of your mind for 2 years and joined another team. And
I have
back
no idea you're talking about. I've never left the Jets. Mm-hmm. I've never talked about any other team. I've never promised to put a tattoo of another team on my body. None of it. Now, one of my other favorite teams, the Yankees, Jazz Chisholm was ejected from yesterday's win after arguing a questionable called third strike. Once he left the game, Chisholm went to the locker room and tweeted out, "Not even close," with multiple exclamation points before immediately deleting the post. Now, Jazz could be in trouble as MLB rules say players cannot use electronic devices during games, even if they've been ejected. And a second policy says players cannot call out umpires in social media either. So onside, offside, Chisholm should be suspended for his ejection and subsequent breaking of multiple rules.
So what is he exactly doing?
So he tweeted out a critique of an umpire after being ejected, which you're not allowed to critique umpires on social media.
But he was already ejected.
Yes.
Okay.
So you're not allowed to critique umpires to begin with on social media, whether you're in the game or not. But secondarily, you can't use electronic devices during a game at all, even if you're not playing or even if you were ejected from the game. If you were playing in that game, then you cannot use an electronic device while the game is going on. So
he wasn't using it while he got before he got ejected. He just used it after he got ejected.
Correct.
Which is, you still can't use it right until the game's over.
Correct. So he broke two rules about phones and social media. Plus, he obviously got ejected for arguing with an umpire.
If you want to fine him, fine. Suspended for tweeting about an umpire after he got ejected. I don't know. That doesn't move the needle for me. So I'll go offside on that.
Offside.
I was a little confused there for a second.
All right. I'm sorry for confusing.
No. It wasn't anything you did. I'm sitting there, I go, what's the infraction? You know? Yeah.
Well, yours and Mr. Reiter's favorite player, LeBron, and the Lakers are prepping for the playoffs as a 3 seed. And Bronny was actually officially included on the 15-man postseason roster.
Ah, wonderful. Of course. Yeah.
Now, LeBron's other son, Bryce, also took to social media yesterday to officially announce he's committing to the Arizona Wildcats next season rather than joining LeBron's former high school teammate Drew Joyce at Duquesne. Mm-hmm. So onside, offside, you believe we'll see Bronny, LeBron, and Bryce on an NBA court together sometime before LeBron retires?
So Bryce, his first year of college is next year. So he could be one and done. I do think LeBron is going to play two more seasons. I thought next year was actually going to be LeBron's next season. I don't know if I feel that way now. Yeah, I could see. I'm still going to go offside there because I remember a social media clip from Bryce where he was like, when someone once asked him this, he's like, how old do you think my dad can't play forever? So it's not that far away. But I'm going to go offside here just because of Bryce already dismissing it once. So I'll go offside there.
Offside.
Now, your favorite and former coach, Bill Belichick, just landed a big fish in the transfer portal as former South Alabama quarterback Gio Lopez chose UNC as his next school. Lopez was ranked 6th in the ESPN spring transfer window rankings and spurned SEC powerhouses like Georgia and LSU after throwing for 2,500 yards and 18 touchdowns while adding another 500 on the ground last year. Belichick has impacted recruiting in a big way for the Tar Heels, bringing in the 2025 class from outside the top 75 when Mac Brown was there all the way up to number 41 for next year since taking over, including taking a 4-star recruit from Coach Prime, and currently ranks 12th for the 2026 class in all of college football.
Mm.
Onside, offside, you're surprised by how good Belichick has been at recruiting so far.
Is this a rhetorical question, Woodcock? I'm being serious. I was the only person that laughed at the notion that when you had all these like nerds that would talk about Belichick,
he's not going to recruit. Bill Belichick's not going to recruit. The dude's obsessed with football. I'm not like, I know Bill has been in high school gyms. I know people that are getting recruited by Bill Belichick. A friend of mine that coaches high school football in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's seen Belichick already. This idea that Bill wasn't going to be active on the recruiting trail is just lunacy to me. I never understood it. So am I surprised by how good Belichick has been at recruiting so far?
You know, that's going to be an offsides for me.
So offsides.
I'll tell you, though, I'm getting a little bit creeped out, though, about Bill's relationship with his 24-year-old girlfriend. You know, that's starting to creep me out a little bit. The more and more I start to see these images of Bill and the 24-year-old and, you know, some of the stretches that they're doing, you know, I'm a little bit uncomfortable if I'm just being honest with the two of them right now. You know, Bill's closing in on, 75, somewhere around there, and he's dating a 24-year-old. Just don't look right if you ask me.
Anyway. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we were talking a little bit the other day about Notre Dame and their quarterback situation when Nico Iamaliava hit the portal. And some people were speculating that it was going to be Notre Dame, but then people said Notre Dame was not going to pay Nico Iamaliava what he wanted, and then Notre Dame was out. And you know that Riley Leonard, who's scheduled to join us next week, by the way, he's off to the NFL draft. And you had Steve Angeli there. Well, he just entered the transfer portal as well. So Notre Dame's going to be a run-first football team next year. We know Jeremiah Love could be a Heisman Trophy potential candidate. and you do got Price there as well. But for quarterbacking-wise, it's going to be fascinating to see who they start. And I feel like the player with the most upside at Notre Dame at the quarterback room right now is C.J. Carr. And Angeli, who was there last year, got some burn last year right in their playoff run. He's someone that you thought would have been the starter. But I don't know if he would have held that job for the entirety of the season. So that's why I have to gather why he did enter this spring window of the transfer portal. Because clearly, C.J. Carr is far enough along in his development where Angeli thought, okay, I don't know if I'll be the guy at the end of the year. And I was reading, I forget which Notre Dame reporter it was, but it was on a podcast somewhere, and they were talking about C.J. Carr. They said Notre Dame hasn't had a quarterback in a while in terms of a quarterback that pops. Like, sure, you had Sam Hartman for a year. You know, Riley Leonard had limitations. He was there for a year. But you look at a guy like Jimmy Clausen. You look at a guy like Brady Quinn, right, that made national news and were considered to be really good players for many years. They think C.J. Carr can be that type of quarterback. So I'm looking at Notre Dame this year. What's my expectation for them? Even with after losing their quarterback in Riley Leonard, which, you know, is a loss, but I don't think it's the end of the world type of loss. And Notre Dame kind of has this playoff design as long as you only lose two games a year for you to get in. Now, when you lose to Northern Illinois in week two like they did last year, that's a little bit of a different ball game. You then can't afford to lose another game the rest of the season. They didn't, and they went to the playoff, and they all went all the way to the national championship game. And let's be real, they were getting blown out of that national championship game up against Ohio State. But if they just had better coverage on third and 11, when, you know, I was sitting next to Hickey at that game, and I said to him, they're going to toss this ball deep. And Jeremiah Smith made that catch down the right sideline. If they just would have got off the field there, who knows what would have happened in that game. But optimism is now there with Notre Dame. I think people are back in on Marcus Freeman. They have a tough first two games of the season. You get Miami, and then you get Texas A&M. After that, you get Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, USC, Boston College, Navy, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Stanford. So that's a good schedule. You know, that's, you get Miami and A&M right out of the chute. You get an SEC team in week four. You get Boise State, one of the better power four now conference schools. You get USC, which is always a rivalry game. And then you end the season, you know, second to last week with Syracuse, who's an up-and-coming program now with Fran Brown at the helm. I look at that. Notre Dame, especially how good of a player Love is, and if Carr could, you know, gets the job or eventually takes over midway through the season, if he could be the player people think he could be, that should be a team that two losses, you know, could they get a third one this year? Yeah, I guess it's a possibility. But if I'm a Notre Dame fan in a 12-team playoff format, it's designed for you to get in. So I think the expectation, not saying they will, but the expectation should be that they're back in the college football playoff. I think the Notre Dame quarterback competition is interesting. And I also think the Alabama one is too. Because I look at the Alabama quarterback room. It's not as if the projected starter is a monster name. Like, I was very disappointed with Jalen Milroe last year, especially with what he did. I think it was in week four towards the end of September up against Georgia. I thought he was going to be Heisman Trophy candidate. I thought he was going to be Heisman Trophy finalist, especially after that performance that he had up against Georgia and how surgical he was in that first half. And even when the game got away, he had that 75-yard touchdown pass down the right sideline to Ryan Williams. But with Milroe now going to the NFL and Ty Simpson, he's the projected starter. When I heard Grubbs talk about the other day, he's like, oh, he's deserved that right for right now to be in the lead position and the pole position. I don't know if that was a great ringing endorsement. You know, Keelon Russell's the guy that's there. That is the freshman that's the highly touted guy. I don't think it's a matter of if he's going to be the starting quarterback. I just think it's going to be when. And when will he be the starting quarterback at some point this season? And Alabama is so fascinating because, hey, if Notre Dame misses the playoffs this year, is everyone out on Marcus Freeman after getting to the national championship game a year before? No. And I'm one of the biggest Kalen DeBoer fans on the radio. I've been a big Kalen DeBoer fan since he's been at Fresno State. But if you are Kalen DeBoer taking over for Nick Saban and you miss the playoff in year one, it's not a 4-team format, it's a 12-team format, and then you miss it in year two, whoo, That's going to be ugly. That's going to be ugly at Alabama. And I believe in DeBoer. I think DeBoer will ultimately win a national championship at Alabama. But there's going to be a big-time amount of pressure on him going into this college football season. All righty, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. And this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we do return, we'll get our Ask the Pros question also. I will give you a little NBA playoff predictions with most of the first-round matchup set. We still got to figure out the 2-8 seeds that will be participating in this stupid whoever prevails in this play-in tournament, which I don't like. But still, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to pick against the one seeds who ever do get in there. So we will do a little NBA postseason predictions for the first round when we do come on back. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. Update time first. Here's Zach.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Let me tell you, Ryan Hot Take Hickey is now on my S list. He's on my bleep list. You want to know what this guy just did during the break? He comes up to me, goes, I got a bone to pick with you. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the heck did I do? Here I am. I put him on the air more than anybody here at the network. I basically made Ryan Hot Take Hickey find the personality on the air, right? I brought out a ton out of Ryan Hot Take Hickey to turn him into the talk show host that he is today. And I take full accountability for those problems that I may have created. And I take full credit for it, too. So he comes up to me in the newsroom. He goes, you get on me all the time for the Colts and the participation trophy kind of mentality with the finalist banner that they had for making the AFC Championship game. He goes, you go after James Franklin all the time for never winning the big game, and you call them Participation State University. I go, okay. I go, like, tell me, like, get to the point here. Spit it out. Today, Junior. Let me know. And he goes, you defending Shedeur Sanders getting his jersey retired is despicable. I go, what's despicable about it? He was the most valuable player in the Colorado football team last year. And he turned Colorado, along with Travis Hunter and Coach Prime, from an irrelevant program to last 2 years, one of the most talked about programs in college football. I go, what's the big deal? And yesterday I went off. I said, there's a lot of fake outrage out there from talk show hosts who are running out of segments. So they have to just bitch about something. And I thought Ryan Hot Take Hickey was better than that. And now he has this fake outrage and he's bitching. Oh my God. The fact that he was like TMZ. I'm in a break. I'm in the newsroom. I'm going to get a little sip of water, a little high-quality H2O, and he comes running up on me. I got a bone to pick with you. Like, at least burst through the studios like you're the Kool-Aid man or something and do it on the air. Don't have a bone to pick with me in private over a take. Oh, my God. P.U. Disgusting. Grotesque. By the way, you can listen to Ryan Hot Take Hickey coming up next. He's filling in for JR in many of these same stations, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. How about Hickey Santer? I walk into the newsroom and he's like crying over a take that I had.
I agree with him. I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, because you're another fake outrage guy.
You know. I mean, it's not outrage. It's just it shouldn't be happening.
Why?
It's nepotism.
Why? How is it? Stop. It's not nepotism.
Deion said it. If his name wasn't Sanders, we wouldn't be having this conversation He wouldn't be his number retired.
What? Let me ask you.
He's like the fifth best Colorado Buffalo's quarterback ever. Sixth best.
Name him.
Cordell Stewart.
I'm just saying.
He was 13-12.
Oh my God.
He finished eighth in the Heisman. He's getting his number retired. Cordell Stewart won two bowl games, had one of the most epic Hail Marys of all time.
Stop. Do you listen at all when I speak? Because I said yesterday, just because other people didn't get their jersey retired doesn't make this right, right? Doesn't make that right. But anyone having an actual problem with Shedeur Sanders, who made Colorado relevant and made him one of the most talked about teams in college football and played his ass off at Colorado behind no offensive line, and outside of Travis Hunter, you can't name a single person on the offense. That's what we're freaking out about? What's the big deal here? There's no big deal here. I'm not even wasting any more of my time on this because it's such a stupid conversation. Because I hear people go, oh, it's outrageous. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's a travesty. Why? Did Scott Farrell just come back?
It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Zach, my friend, this is from Billy Flynn on Twitter. Oh, Billy, he took me to the Rangers game. This was not this season, last season. Sorry we didn't make it to a Rangers game this season. Oh, he used the Zach Gelb word. But the jackassery that is the Rangers will mercifully end tonight. So this was from yesterday he sent this. What changes and moves do you see them making in the offseason? The Rangers are a disaster. They went from being two wins away from the cup final last year to now not even making the playoffs. I think Kreider's going to get traded. I would love for them to go get Brady Tkachuk from the Ottawa Senators. I don't think that's going to happen. They're going to bring in a new coach. I do not think that coach... I think the coach is probably going to be Messier. I don't think they're going to turn down Messier again. You know, Quinville, could it be him? Would they have a reunion with John Tortorella? I guess it's possible. But I just don't know how many times Messier keeps on expressing interest in the job that they're going to be able to tell him no. I will tell you, I would like to see, in terms of the Stanley Cup final this year, I would like to see Dallas get there, and I would like to see Dallas go up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see a Pete DeBoer Stanley Cup final with the going up against Toronto Maple Leafs. If I said, okay, Dallas gets eliminated, picked another team I'd like to see, I'd like to see the Oilers. I would. Anytime the Oilers get there, I don't think it's bad. The Jets are a heck of a team, obviously, with Hellebuck in net. And there's a lot of pressure on the Maple Leafs, and now they bring in Berube. And I guess if not the Maple Leafs, oh, this pains me to say it, because my two least favorite hockey teams are the Penguins and the Capitals. I would like to see the Capitals get there because of the Ovechkin storyline. But I'm going to go with the Maple Leafs and the Dallas Stars to get to the Stanley Cup final. Okay, NBA prediction. Let's go through these first-round matchups, even though we don't know them all yet. Thunder and Cavs, it doesn't matter who they end up drawing in the first round. The Thunder and Cavs will both advance to round number two. I think I'm going to surprise some people here with my next two picks. I love Nikola Jokic. That team, though, I don't like where they're at right now, though. And I don't like trusting James Harden in the postseason. Kawhi is healthy, though, now.
with the change in the coaching position, I got a bad feeling about the Nuggets. I'm going to say the Clippers win that series. So I'm going to have the Clippers going up against the Thunder in round number two. Lakers and Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves are a lot more alive than people think. But I'm going to go with Luka and I'm going to go with LeBron here. So I'll take the Lakers in what's going to be a very difficult and a very challenging series. Rockets and Warriors, I have the 7-seed Warriors upsetting the Rockets. So my conference semifinals will be the Thunder and the Clippers, and it will be the Warriors and the Lakers, which gives us a little Steph Curry, LeBron James action along with Jimmy Butler and Luka Doncic. All righty, Eastern Conference, told you the Cavs will get through regardless of who they play as the 8. I know I'm Mr. Milwaukee, and I know I'm Mr. You Got Bucks Lust. We don't know when Damian Lillard's coming back, even though there's been encouraging reports since the blood clots. There's a lot of noise and a dark cloud hanging over the Bucks organization, and I usually don't give it merit about the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo. But Bill Reiter's brought it up. Brian Geltzeiler has brought it up. I'm going to say the Pacers beat the Bucks. The Knicks and the Pistons, I like the Knicks in 6. Cade Cunningham, though, could have a moment here, but I think the Knicks just have too much talent to go out in the first round. And then Celtics Magic, I'm going to take the Boston Celtics to win that series in a gentleman's sweep. I will have it being in 5 games. So that sets me up for the conference semifinals. Cavs and Pacers, Knicks and Celtics. So that's what I end up going with. But I'm fascinated by the Timberwolves and I'm fascinated by the Clippers. Those are the two teams I almost don't even feel like the Warriors are an underdog, even though they're a 7. But those are the two teams in the West, the Clippers and the Timberwolves. I'm just very curious how their first rounds do go. And I do think the Clippers will defeat the Nuggets, and the Timberwolves, I think, will come up just short up against the Los Angeles Lakers. And in the East, I would say Pistons, Knicks, and Bucks, Pacers are the two most intriguing first-round matchups. Cavs will beat whoever they end up playing. Celtics will end up beating the Magic. A lot of people are down on the Knicks entering the postseason because they don't beat any of these top teams. And they didn't get a victory this year up against the Cavs. They didn't get a victory this year up against the Thunder. They didn't get a victory this year up against the Celtics. So they are playing the Pistons. A good story. And Cade Cunningham is going to be a very good player in this league for a very long time. I liked him when he was at Oklahoma State. But the Knicks with Cat, with OG, with Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson. You know, you go through the entirety of the Knicks team, Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges, big postseason for him. You know, a lot on the line there. I don't think he's getting enough talked about because everyone's talking about Tom Thibodeau potentially getting fired. I would look at that one just being interesting, but I do think the Knicks ultimately prevail. Pacers-Bucks, in a weird way, that's the series I'm not going to say I'm most excited about, but outside of Lakers and Timberwolves, I'm very intrigued by Pacers and Bucks because of the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I've sat here for years and I said, oh, Giannis isn't getting traded. Stop with all this, blah, 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 blah. But with that being said, there is a lot more of some speculation about the future of Giannis. Because remember, they went in, they got Damian Lillard, and it hasn't worked so far. And you just had the Luka Doncic trade as well. Is that, you know, you already seen Giannis win a championship in Milwaukee. Is this his offseason where maybe he tries to expedite that departure from the Bucks? I'm not saying it's happening. Just when Bill Reiter sits down and says that, and we had Brian Geltzeiler on the show, and you had two guys within the span of, what, a week and a half say it? I got to say there's some merit to it. Doesn't mean, hey, if you're listening to us in Milwaukee, you know how much I love you. It doesn't mean, hey, this is happening. But I think it's something you need to monitor. I think it's something you need to pay attention to. All righty, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Appreciate Bill Reiter joining us in studio. You know, this could be a mega NBA offseason. We know Durant's getting traded. If Giannis gets traded, then that just takes it to a different level. I don't think Nikola Jokic will demand a trade. I do not. Like, if you ask me, those three, who's most likely to get traded? Durant's clearly one. Then I would say Giannis is 2, and then Nikola Jokic is 3. So appreciate Bill Reiter for joining us. And he thinks KD to the Knicks is a real, real possibility. You know, that's what he was saying. All right, Botcher, thank you. Samter, thank you. Each and every one of you tuning into the radio program, however you do it, across all of our affiliates or on SiriusXM, our YouTube, we thank you as well. Have a wonderful weekend, and God willing, we'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. All righty, have a great weekend, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.